All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Ruse Radio. This would be episode 7. Nice to see you again. Got a little bit of stuff in store for you right here. I know it's been a minute since the last episode, but we're ramping things up here in a second. I'm going to start having guests on here and really trying to make this thing collaborative. Anyways, we got con artist. What is con artist? On my Instagram, you might see constantly that I always put con artist coming soon at the end of every post. Now, what does that mean? If you go on my YouTube channel, you can find a little playlist called Con Artist with all the songs I've released off of it so far. But it is it's basically my next project. It's got, I think, 11 tracks. It might be 13, something like that. And I've had it for a while. I've been sitting on it for a while, but it's a nice little collection of work that I'm really proud of. And slowly I've been churning out some more stuff as of lately too, that I've kind of been releasing as singles, but I've been waiting for the right moment to kind of put out Con Artist. And I don't know, I mean, if you want Con Artist, you're listening to this and you want it so bad, you tell me, and maybe I'll drop it just for you. but I've been sitting on it for a while, so I'm just waiting for that opportunity. A couple of my favorite tracks off of it I've already put out. I think Alone, or All One, if you will. It's a great song. It means a lot to me, because I can listen to that song over and over and kind of extract different little meanings out of it. Forgotten Song is a good one. And I think that that's a song that a lot of people could probably draw, you know, meaning from. Because I tried to write it in a way where it leaves room for interpretation, you know. It's a song about a person and that feeling of change between your relationship, between you and one another. But beyond that, I didn't want to be too specific or try to, you know, put my grip on it too much and have it become something where it's about my experience, because in the end I think that a song like that, you know, if you really want it to resonate with a listener, it's all about the approach. So Forgotten Song, I really like the way that one came together. AR is great. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I think all those songs are cool tracks. You should go check them out. Blank Throats featuring Dustin Knapp off of Con Artist is the next one. It's going to drop sometime soon. I want to make a video for it, so I'm going to figure something out. I have like a little piece for the first verse that I filmed a while ago, but we need to get Dustin's verse filmed somehow. So yeah, that is a for certainty. Got to make that happen. Anyways, that's what Con Artist is. I wanted to run through a bunch of stuff that's dropped in the local music scene here and kind of, I don't know, just recap everything. I didn't do this in the last episode. This is like basically all the stuff that kind of stuck out to me on the internet or in the Flint scene. We got Imagine, dropped Ghost, and I think that was about a month or two ago. Imagine I did a 60 seconds for. But Ghost is kind of a departure from his previous style, and I really like the way he went with it. I mean, when I talked to him, he kind of described himself as an alternative artist, and I think that Ghost is a good testament to that. I think it's an EP. Maybe it's a mixtape. I don't know what they call them nowadays. I don't know. I don't know what the difference is. Odd Pike and Gabe Sinclair dropped Dissociative Sessions, and I actually caught them perform this live at, trying to think of whose show it was. It was either Jeff Skies or Cam Lapine's. I'm not sure. A Different Perspective played as well. But that was a dope show. And I'd say that Odd Pike and Gabe Sinclair are great performers. They know how to definitely take their little segment of time and make it their own. So that was dope. And I've been kind of keeping an eye on Odd Pike for a couple years now. So it's cool to see him kind of, I think he's starting to form a lot more of a solid piece of work, if that makes sense. Not that his older stuff wasn't that way, but I would say Dissociative Sessions, after listening through it and all that, it feels a little bit more just the pieces of the puzzle come together. And I think that that is just something that happens as an artist evolves and changes their style and figures out what works and doesn't work. So yeah, I can't wait to see how that continues to go on. We got Novocaine, who dropped Mosaic, and that is an album that, as he described to me, is kind of like about picking up the pieces, kind of like how a mosaic is like that, and also things in his life that are connected to glass. It's an interesting little piece. It's personal, and Novocaine is a unique Detroit area artist. You should definitely go check him out. All about bringing people together through music, and you know, showing that whoever you are, you should just represent yourself, because in the end, you know, who cares? So express in his words. Jeff Sky dropped Bruce Lee. I actually got a 60 seconds coming up with Jeff Sky, and I really like his chill kind of slow flow style. I talked to him and he kind of said that came about through, he's always kind of been monotone Jeff, so it just kind of translated well into his music, which is interesting. Kind of reminds me of Scumbag Fred. If you talk to Scumbag Fred, his voice sounds real similar to his rap voice, or even somebody like Tyler, the Creator. You know, you talk to him and he basically raps how he talks. It's my style's not like that, but I wish it was. It would be nice. So there's that. Jeff Sky, Bruce Lee. Go check it out. Spotify, SoundCloud, all your streaming services. Kota, I think that's how you pronounce it. K-O-T-A, all caps. He's a rapper I follow on YouTube, but, I mean, he's all over the place. And he dropped Brooklyn Bodega. I think he dropped another track, actually, after that one already that I haven't checked out yet. But Brooklyn Bodega is the one I have checked out and would recommend. Kota, I think it might be Kota the Friend on YouTube. I could be completely wrong, but you should definitely go check that out. He's a great rapper. He's definitely kind of blowing up a little bit on YouTube as of lately, so maybe hop on before he really starts to catch flame. I Am Frizz and Tae Guap dropped Theorist, A Dose of Reality. Your man right here actually shot the picture they used for that album cover, for the EP cover, I should say. But yeah, I took that picture when I did I Am Frizz's 60 Seconds. Got that street sound to it, but it's well produced. It's a great little bangers on there. Definitely go check it out. Tae Guap, I need to get 60 Seconds with Tae Guap as well. Because gosh darn, A Dose of Reality. Last but not least, we got Swatches. They dropped Youth Can If Youth Wanna. Now, I actually heard a lot of these songs live in Chicago when I saw Swatches right before I filmed their 60 Seconds. And it was really cool to actually hear these tracks finally on record. They definitely realized them in the best way possible. Swatches is a really unique little piece coming out of Chicago. They're a three-piece now, but when they recorded this record, they were a four-piece. So it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of translate all that stuff and their new style kind of moves forward, considering, you know, the switch. Well, actually, I really like the Pamplemousse, and that one was the one I used for the 60 Seconds. That one was the single they had actually released before then. But the one that stuck out to me off of the album was Pastel Pink. So I'm going to play that song now. Hope you guys like it. Hope you like Swatches. Go check them out if you you know, enjoy this song. Swatches Band, I think, on Instagram. There you go. Swatches, Pastel Pink.
Gun and chain. Tie me up, you ball and chain. Let me know if we come too close. I swear I'll take the heat. I want you, I need you to know. I want you, I need you to know. We'll be right back.
finish their beef about as quickly as it started. I'm going to have to say I'm pretty sure that I agree with everybody on this one, that Eminem pretty much slaughtered MGK. The minority will tell you that MGK won, but I mean, you watch that MGK Breakfast Club interview and you tell me that this isn't a guy who's just trying to, you know, one-up somebody. It's a little sad, honestly, because I used to have a little more respect for MGK, and in the whole thing, the way he's handling it afterwards is making me lose respect for him. The way he did respond on the Breakfast Club was a little bit, it wasn't the big old response you'd want to hear. And it definitely, you know, I was disappointed when I saw M was responding in an interview, but then he drops the track. So I kind of expected, or at least hoped for something similar from MGK. Considering that he's acting like, you know, it's still a matter of him being better than M. Because, I don't know, unless you prove that, is that really true? Because I think the majority wouldn't agree with you at this point. Anyway, other stuff that has dropped. We got Logic, who dropped Young Sinatra 4, the final of the Young Sinatra saga. I think that's what you call it when there's four. I love it. I mean, I don't know. I think that Logic is a great hip-hop artist. If there's any criticism I have, it's that I think everybody was a little bit slacking. I think that he came back with Bobby Tarantino Part 2, if that's what it was, Bobby Tarantino 2 Part 2. I think he came back a little bit more with that. He definitely brought his A-game there, and I like him more when he's doing the trap stuff anyways. I think everybody was just a little too preachy for everyone, and you know, the whole biracial thing. I definitely can agree that I think he drove it in a little hard. I'm not a big fan of the 1-800 single. I don't know. It's just... to me, I feel like all that stuff is a little bit much. But I think that Young Sinatra 4 is him kind of going back to that sound, and you know, a lot of it works. There's a couple tracks that I didn't really care for as much. The only real criticism I have of the album is that Logic, I think that he writes really fast, and that he's one of those guys that, you know, he pumps these bars out really quickly, and so by doing that, he'll have these kind of filler bars, and he'll have these lines that lead into rhymes that don't necessarily need to be there. It's like you look at somebody like Eminem, the way he writes a bar, and it feels like every word is essential. Not to, you know, praise Eminem, but I just think that, you know, that kind of thing is important when it comes to hip-hop, and when I hear Logic's music, that's the kind of thing that turns me off most. So yeah, but it's a great album. He also dropped it on the same day as Lil Wayne dropped the Carter 5, and that's not his fault, because Lil Wayne announced it a couple days before, to my knowledge. I'm pretty sure that's how it all worked out. I didn't listen to the whole thing yet, I'll admit, but from what I did hear, it is definitely Lil Wayne returning to form. You know, you gotta understand that his influence on the culture, he's left ripples that are beyond comprehension. So you go listen to old Lil Wayne and you can see that. Or, you know, you can just listen to, you know, some modern artists now and think about how his music sounded back then, especially Kendrick, artists like him. I would say that Kendrick's influence from Lil Wayne is kind of noticeable, especially if you listen to a track like Mona Lisa. I think the kind of approach that even Lil Wayne took reminded me of Kendrick in a way. But is that him reminding me of Kendrick, or is that just the influence that Kendrick took from Lil Wayne in the first place? Or maybe it's a little bit of both. Anyways, Mona Lisa's a dope track, and I would highly recommend that. And that's what we got for our hip-hop news. In local hip-hop news, very local, my local hip-hop news, I actually had a show on September 21st now. So it was about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I played with Brennan Triola, A-Dub, Jace Fetty, Johnny Doe, Lil Rocco, and my boy O-Wave. I really appreciate the people who came out for it. It was a nice little environment. Everybody was turning up, as the kids would say. But no, it was cool. It was nice to actually headline at the local. I have never headlined there before, so it was a big kind of thing for me. I think I pulled it off. And again, I appreciate everybody coming out. And O-Wave really kind of blew me away too, because I hadn't caught him live, but I've been following him on SoundCloud, and I actually found him through a video that a friend had made. He's a dope artist. He's got tons of stuff on SoundCloud, tons of beats, and he's been dropping some more like hip-hop tracks lately with him rapping on them. So, you know, he's honestly, he's a dope hip-hop artist, a dope rapper, and he makes all of his own stuff. So taking that Russ approach. On the vein of that, we're gonna hop into a song that O-Wave produced himself. Not for me, but I found it on SoundCloud and I was like, I gotta do something with this. This song is called Alienated. It's about feeling like an alien, feeling alienated. But as you can see, the lyrics are kinda tongue-in-cheek. Hope you like it. Alienated, Ruse, produced by O-Wave.
We are not the same. I am a Martian. Please stay out my lane. I'm in the starship. Back from whence I came. Once I have carved in my name on your planet, I'm planning a reef of Mars. People silly, fighting simple wars. Said I'm so beyond the killing, I'll frighten your little corpse. I'm the type bomb villain, the type you will endorse. I'm a nice guy chilling, my mic is in my pores. Small green man, tell you who said no. You was extra, I am E.T. Could you get a phone? Guess I better call home. Ashton Kutcher, my course, got butterfly doors on the UFO. Whoa. Hey, what you doing? Are you messing with an alien? Light years ahead of you, said you a barbarian. A bite off the head to your summer, you vegetarian. Alex Jones here to you that I'm real. Got the stars on my side, universal appeal. I'm a meme, man, my jam, a car is crammed in the field. My supreme panorama, Google Earth will reveal. I'm a person concealed, I'm not real, no I'm not. I'm a space creature creeping, just observing to watch. I see hate, I see demons, see the hurt and the rot. And I keep the data for all the reasons why it's worth it to stop.
So, I actually was at work the other day, and I was making a salad, and I had to cut a cucumber, and I cut a little piece off the cucumber, and then it fell on the floor. So I was like, and I went to go grab the little piece of the cucumber, and then I dropped the knife I was holding, and there was a man next to me, so I didn't want the knife to hit him. So I tried to catch the knife. I now think I will have a scar on my right ring finger, so that's great. Don't ever try to catch a knife is the moral of the story here, kids. Your man Ruse is not as smart as you. You're smarter than me. Don't grab a knife. That's in midair. Don't catch knives. We got 60 Seconds with Farillo Star. That came out. I've been dropping more 60 Seconds lately. 60 Seconds with Farillo Star. 60 Seconds with Jemmy Haseman. Pretty soon here we're going to have 60 Seconds with D'Amico Smith. 60 Seconds with Jeff Sky. 60 Seconds with Chemist the Skywalker. And more to come. So, hope you guys are going to be on the lookout for all of that crap coming down the pipe. 60 Seconds is a little interview series I do where I cut it down to 60 seconds, however long I interview somebody. So if you ever want to be on 60 Seconds, you're listening to this podcast, you just hit me up. If you want to be on the podcast too, you just hit me up and we can make that happen. I'm all about working with artists and collaborating. It's my favorite thing to do because that's what's art. That's what this art is all about. Homie, you feel me? You feel me? You understand what I'm saying? Because I am speaking truths right now. Okay. Last little topic we got to talk about on this podcast here. So Shane Dawson is making this Logan Paul documentary, and we are currently 4 episodes in, and we haven't seen Jake Paul original footage yet. We've seen the investigation. I'd say episode 4 had the most information. I think the problem with the series is that Shane Dawson is framing it as a sociopath thing when he should have framed it as let's investigate Jake Paul and his behavior and not try to frame it at all. Let's just try to get to the bottom of it. Because he spent about 2 episodes setting up the sociopath thing. He kind of pulled back on the 3rd episode. But I mean, the 3rd episode was still just him watching a bunch of videos. And, you know, that is good stuff and it works, but with the level of expectations that someone is going to have with a documentary like this, coming from Shane Dawson, I would just expect him to have a little bit more of a refined approach than, you know, maybe just watching some videos, getting some reactions from different little bits and pieces and trying to connect some dots, and also, you know, overreacting the whole time. And it's funny because he's trying to fight back to the whole overreacting argument, but he continues to overreact. You know, look how big this house is. Oh my God, there's an elevator in this house. I think PewDiePie put it well when he said that, you know, Shane Dawson's a millionaire. So when he's, you know, with Jeffree Star, the multimillionaire, why is he freaking out the whole time? This isn't completely foreign to him, and he could just be trying to be relatable, and that's fine, that's great. But I mean, when he tries to like be sassy about the overreacting thing, I wish he wouldn't. But I mean, the latest episode definitely had some good information coming from Nick Crompton, with all the stuff about him basically saying that the pranks are fake. It really says a lot about Jake Paul. It basically says that he doesn't really care about the viewers and the kids that are watching as much as he does about getting the money out of it and continuing to fake the pranks, even no matter the impression that it's leaving on the kids who are watching, who obviously will probably think it's real. And I think that's the real concern for most people. If this stuff is real, or if kids think it's real, they're going to take away from that they should be that way because, you know, Team 10, he's a savage, so maybe I should be too. And, you know, that would be my concern. And that takes away from the whole sociopath thing to begin with. So let's hope that Nick Crompton saying that can kind of ease that away. I don't like that Shane Dawson's even bringing a therapist to meet Jake Paul with him. I think that a therapist trying to figure out if someone's a sociopath by spending time with them and not even being clear with them that that's what they're trying to do is not going to get you very far. And she said she feels sociopaths. She said she feels them. She said it feels like a roller coaster, and when she's around them, it feels like the pit in your stomach when you're on a roller coaster, which seems like a real insensitive thing for a psychologist to say about a sociopath. But I don't know. It all ties into something a little bit greater, in my opinion. And I've stumbled upon this little YouTube series. The channel is Memeology, and they're making this series called Why YouTubers Are Depressed. And it's all about basically how YouTubers are being approached by this company called BetterHelp. And it's basically this online therapy. And there's nothing wrong with that, but they're posing themselves as this online therapy that is way cheaper than regular therapy, or it's affordable at the very least, and you can get it online. So for all the people who, you know, don't really have the time or don't really want to have to go to a person and talk to them in person, and, you know, they're a little bit more introverted, they can do this therapy through texting or video chat or however they want to do it, and be a little bit more comfortable. I think the best thing you can do is go to Memeology and look into it and watch the videos, because they say it a lot better than I can say it. Basically, what's happening is, if you look into the company themselves, BetterHelp, it's a pretty shady business. It seems like a lot of, they don't really vet the therapists that are there, so a lot of the people that are, you know, you're even being referred to, and when you're paying this price, which if you pay the $35 a month, which is the cheapest option, you have to pay for a whole year. You pay the more expensive one, then you have to pay for quarterly, then you pay for the more expensive one, and you can pay monthly, and then you pay for the most expensive one, and you can pay weekly. And that's how it works. The whole pricing thing kind of feels weird. A lot of people get rejected from the get-go, and these are people who are legitimately seeking help from this service. So it's creating this environment online where you have creators who are making this content about being depressed, and they're not really disclosing that they're doing this for the BetterHelp company. They're acting as if they're making these videos because they've had a stint of depression and they want to inform their viewers. And I think that's where it's really rubbing people the wrong way. very informative stuff, and I think it really ties in with the Shane Dawson series about Jake Paul and the approach that Shane Dawson's taking. I mean, the therapist lady on the series has had tons of stuff that she's done with BetterHelp. The series is sponsored by BetterHelp. So, of course Shane would take an approach like this. Of course it's a mental health thing. But is that really the best way to approach mental health? To stigmatize it or to sensationalize it? I don't know. Probably not. Lastly, I wanted to do a little artist highlight. There's a band called The Something Strange. The Something Strange? I don't know. I think it's something with a G at the end. But The Something Strange. They're awesome. They're coming out of Lansing, Michigan. I caught them live once so far. I plan to catch them live again this month, maybe. Definitely a unique style about them. I caught the lead singer. I think it's Kostya. I hope I pronounced that right. But Konstantin, I think he told me is what it was. But I caught him before I caught the band live. My friend Josh Rose and Spencer Debian had made a video for him that I caught on Facebook, and the video was acoustic, but as a band, his music definitely translates really well into, you know, what they were doing together, because I actually recognized the song I had caught that he had played acoustic on the music video. He played it live with Something Strange, and I knew the song. So yeah, it was great, and I just wanted to give them a little plug. They're playing here in Flint real soon, October 26th. The Something Strange, check them out. This song is going to be called Pierre, and yeah, pleasure chatting with you guys yet again on Ruse Radio. Catch you here real soon. It's been a pleasure. It's been a blast. Ruse Radio, clocking out.
I can't read my sometimes I try, and although you're in love with beer, I guess I'll just sit right here, 'cause the concrete feels fine up and down my spine, but I'll give my chance to shine. Square into my